Okay. Today again, we'll be starting in a series called Glorifying God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Glorifying God. As I said, Scripture declares that we are to glorify God. And we're to glorify God in all things. In all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll start reading in verses 23 to 33. Scripture declares, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. So all things are lawful, but all things aren't good for us. They're not good for us. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. So we're not to seek our own. That's hard for us to do. It's not natural for us, is it? But when God changes a sinner's heart, we seek the good for others. He changes our heart. The one who we never glorified, now we seek to glorify. The one we never thought of, now is on our mind all the time. And that being Christ Jesus our Lord. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There's our God's sovereignty right there before us in very plain language. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything is His. Everything's His. If any of them that believe not bid you to feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever set before you eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but for the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? So, in other words, we know we have liberty. We know we have liberty to do things. But if that liberty that you have causes your brother to stumble, don't do it in His presence. You can do it on your own, but don't do it in His presence if it causes Him to stumble. That's what that's all about. Because everything's the Lord's, right? And we know what's right and wrong. The Spirit of God teaches us. We know. We know. But look at this next verse here. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do. So that's everything, isn't it? That's everything. Do all to the glory of God. We are to do everything to the glory of God. When we're at work, give God the glory for having the job. He's the one who gave it to you. You have a loving wife or a loving husband, children, give God all the glory. He's the one who gave them to you. Whether we're in sickness or in health, and I know it's hard when we're in sickness to give Him all the glory, but we ought to. And by His grace, we do. How many times have you been just, I know, me, moaning, oh God, please deliver me from this. Right? But it's been for my good. And at the end, I see that God's glorified in it. Oh, we want to get out of it fast. But God has a plan and a purpose. And usually, through those experiences, we come out the other side stronger in our faith in God. And this is how God works. So in everything, we're to do to the glory of God. Give not offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit. So again, we constantly see this vein in the epistles. Paul doesn't want any of the glory. Now, we got to fight that. Matt and I have talked about that. And Brother John and Brother Tim, when you're teaching, you got to fight that. Because we don't want any preeminence. We don't want any God. We want God to get it all. But man is man. We're sinners. But we constantly see what an example Paul is for believers, for preachers, for teachers. He constantly says, I want God to get all the glory. This is the Apostle Paul. He wants him to get all the glory. And that's how it should be. And all of us as believers should seek to glorify God in everything that we do. So I'd like to start today a series on glorifying God. Glorifying God. And let's finish that verse in 33. I didn't finish that verse. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Now the confessions of old state that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And we will enjoy Him forever when we're in glory. Oh my. Oh my. We will. But we are to glorify God while we're upon this earth. And here in our text in verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do. And as I said, that covers everything. That covers home life. That covers work life. That covers our social life. We're to glorify God. We're to do it to the glory of God. If you have friends, praise God for them. Give God the glory. I'll tell you what. If you have one or two true friends in this life, you're very blessed. You're very blessed. And think of us as a church family. We have something that no one else has other than the body of Christ. We have a family of people who love us, who pray for us, who we will spend eternity with in glory. That's something to give God all the glory for, isn't it? My. What a great God we have. So here in our text in verse 31, the Scripture proclaims that believers in Christ are to do all to the glory of God. We are to live our lives and walk in our lives glorifying our great King and giving Him all the glory for all that we have, for all that we have in Christ. And think of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. We've studied them many times. You're chosen before the foundation of the world based upon nothing of your doing. You're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God. God, the Holy Spirit, draws you to Christ. So I said, Christ purchased you, paid for you on Calvary's cross. Rose from the dead for our justification. My, what blessings we have. Doesn't it make you want to glorify God? Oh my, it does. It fills our hearts with joy. With joy. Now glorifying God, what is the glorifying of God? Now, God is glorified in the church by the preaching of the gospel. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4. He's glorified in the church by the preaching of the gospel, by the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, by Him being exalted and lifted up, by sinners being put in the dust, and God being exalted to His rightful place, too. We're so proud. And God puts us in, He makes our headquarters in the dust. And then we lift Him up in praise. And we glorify Him. Where He rightfully is. Upon His throne. Upon His throne. Look at 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Now this is something that I remember hearing Henry Meehan say a long time ago. God makes the preacher. All my studying, all that I do. It's God who has to grow me. I can't grow on my own. God, the Holy Spirit, has to grow a preacher, has to bring a preacher up. He has to. It's all Him. It's all His doing. Because everything I learn and everything I preach, I've learned. He's revealed it. I can't claim it for my own. So He gives the ability. Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified. There it is. That we might not boast in who we are. We might boast in who God is. And what He's done for us. The great things that He's done for us. We were like that Gadarene demoniac. And He came and released us. And now we sit at His feet in our right mind, clothed. My, clothed in the righteousness of Christ with the mind of Christ now. Oh my. There we are. There we are, beloved. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now through the preaching of Christ and through the exaltation of Christ in our praise and in our worship. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He gets all the glory. And think on this, beloved. When the gospel's preached, God's saints, do you not glorify God when the gospel's preached? Does it not warm your hearts? Do your hearts not burn within you? Do you want to thank Him and praise Him after you've heard a gospel message? Yeah. Oh my. We just want to glorify Him, don't we? We're not glorifying the preacher. He's just a messenger. We want to glorify the one He's speaking of. And I'll tell you, every preacher, every gospel preacher don't want to get the glory. He wants you to glorify Christ. He wants you to leave here saying, oh, what a God we have. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. And note that statement. In 1 Peter 4:11, that God in all things, and remember our text, right? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, and do all to the glory of God. Look at the statement in 1 Peter 4:11, that God in all things may be glorified. How? Through Jesus Christ. Through Christ and Him alone. God is glorified in and through Christ. Now, have you ever wondered about the reason for your existence upon this earth. Before the Lord saved you, did you ever wonder about that? I wondered about that. I wondered about that often. I was, why am I here? Before the Lord saved me. I had no idea, to be honest with you. I was aimless and hopeless and didn't have a care in the world. Only cried out to God when I was in trouble. And it's natural for human beings. We're rational beings, aren't we? We are. It's natural for us to think about things like that. Why am I here? What's my purpose? Well, we find out when we're saved that we have a purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And think on this. Things all around us have a purpose. Think on this. You have trees out here. They have a purpose. Wood. Paper, right? It gives wood and paper. Cows have a purpose. All around us. Cattle all around us, right? They have a purpose. They give milk, food, leather, right? Their hides are turned into leather. Butter, which every one of us use. Everything has a purpose. Now, before we're saved, we don't realize. I didn't realize that. I had no clue. Iron. Think of iron. Iron's taken out of the ground and it's made into all different things. It's used for all different things. It's used to make steel. It's used for all different things. Everything has a purpose, beloved. Everything. We're not just passing through this world. Man has a purpose. Man has a purpose. And man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And what does glorifying God mean? It means glorifying the Trinity. It means glorifying the believer in Christ is to glorify the whole Trinity. or to glorify God. The three in one. Glorifying the Father. Number one, we're to glorify the Father. He's the one who gives us life. He's the one who gives us life. And he's the one who gave us to his Son in eternity. Just because it pleased him. Why? It makes us just want to glorify him. It makes us just want to praise him. Number two, we're to glorify the Son. We're to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, who's God. We're to God incarnate in the flesh. God, the eternal, everlasting God, became a man to redeem us from all our sins. We're to glorify him. We're to glorify him. The Word became flesh. And beloved, one day that Word, who's now seated at the right hand of the Father, will present you and I, believers in Christ, spotless, faultless, before the presence of God, with exceeding joy. Why? Does it not want? Makes us want to shout. My goodness. Glorify God. Look what he's done. See, this is what witnessing is too. We just tell folks, this is what Christ has done for me. Religion makes it this whole mechanical thing, and you gotta, I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he was going off about how Satan has so much power and all this stuff, and I said, nah, my God has all power. And we got talking a little bit more, and he was talking about how the church is such a wreck, and I said, oh, the Church of God's not in a wreck, it's perfect. God's got him right where he wants him. And you all know who I'm talking about. And I said, and then we got on to election. I said, well, God's going to get all the sheep. Oh, you got that again. Yeah, because it's what the Bible says. My God's a successful Savior. He's going to get his people. And his people are going to glorify him. And they're going to give him all the glory. Oh my, what a God we have. And we're to glorify God, the Holy Spirit. He's the one who produces the new birth in us. We could never do that on our own. He works the circumcision made without hands. He regenerates us. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. We're to glorify him. Look what he's done. That which we could never do. And if you notice, all three of them are in action in our salvation, and all three of them are doing things that we could never do for ourselves. We never seek God, so therefore we'd never choose Christ, but God chooses us. We can't pay for our own sins, so Christ dies upon the cross and redeems us from all our sins. And we'd never seek God. We can't make ourselves born again. We can't make the dead man can't make himself alive, but God can make us alive, and he does. He regenerates us. We'll be born again, the Holy Spirit of God. So we're to glorify him. We're to glorify him in all things. In all things. Oh. The Holy Spirit works in us, the new birth. We're regenerated. And he works out for us that which was all according to God the Father's eternal purpose and decree. If you're saved, it's according to God's eternal purpose and decree. I make you want to rejoice. That does. My goodness. What a God we have. What a God we have. Now let's look at this. God has a twofold glory. When we talk about God's glory, the question will be asked, how are we to understand God's glory? How are we to understand God's glory? Number one, one of the old writers said, there is his intrinsic glory, his intrinsic glory, which is the glory he has in himself. His essential glory. His essential glory. The glory is essential. Look at Ephesians 1:17. This glory is essential to God. Because he's the Father of glory, beloved. He's the God of all glory. Turn also, if you would, to Acts chapter 7. So put your finger in Ephesians 1:17 in Acts chapter 7. And he has an intrinsic glory. Look at Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. So look at, right there in that verse, He's called the Father of glory. And also, like the latter part, may give unto you that which we can never obtain on our own. Remember we looked at that in 1 Peter 2. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He must reveal Himself to us, or we'll never know Him. He's the glorious Father. So here He's called the Father of glory. He's the glorious Father who is glorious in Himself. He's glorious in Himself. We add nothing to God. He's absolutely glorious in Himself. He's perfect. His nature is perfect. He's a glorious Father to the saints, to whom He's showing us His love that He's had for us since eternity. He reveals that to us. He adopts us into His family. He loves His children. He loves His elect as a father loves His children. And He takes care of them and protects them and makes glorious provision for them in Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore, all the glory is due to the Father of glory. It's all due Him. Now look at Acts 7:2. Glory is essential to the Godhead. Acts 7:2. Glory is essential to the Godhead. One commentator said this, God cannot be God without glory. God cannot be God without glory, as He is the God of glory. He's the God of glory. It's essential to Him. Look at Acts 7, verse 2. And He said, men and brethren and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. The God of glory. This is who He is. He is the God of glory. So let us remember this also, that the creature's honor, our praise and our honor is not essential to His being. This is who He is. As I said, we don't add anything to God. Nothing. He is glorious in Himself, beloved. He's glorious in Himself. Why? Because He's God. And being God, He's the God of all glory. Think of this, a king without a crown is just a man. A king without a crown is just a man. But God's glory is such an essential part of His being that He cannot be God without it. He is the God of all glory. Thomas Watson says this about God's glory. God's very life lies in His glory. He's the Father of glory. He's the God of glory. This is who He is. It's essential to His being. It's essential to who He is. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 48. And also put a finger in Isaiah 42. And let us think on this. This glory, this intrinsic glory of God can receive no addition. It can receive no addition because it's infinite. Because God is infinite. It's infinite. And we add, as I said many times now, we add nothing to God. He is the God of glory. He is. Period. And He will not share this glory with anyone. He will not give this glory to anyone. This is who He is. Now, when I was in religion, and I speak of myself here, and I know other folks who are like this, but I speak of myself. When I was in religion, I was a glory seeker. To my shame. And I bragged about the things that I did. And I call folks that do that now, because I was one of them, glory hound. They seek to rob God of the glory. But God will not share His glory with anyone. And when God reveals grace to you, when he shows you grace, when He points you to Christ, and you become a new creature in Him, you want Him to get all the glory. Everything changes. Everything changes. Look at this in Isaiah 48:11. Oh, He is to get all the glory alone. Look at Isaiah 48:11. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. God will not share His glory with anyone. Salvation is either all of God, and He gets all the glory, or it's not salvation at all. Because if man gets his hand in there, or gets his works in there, we know it's not salvation. And we know that man will brag about it. That man will say, I made a decision, because I used to do this. Salvation's in Christ and Him alone. Salvation's in the Lord. He gets all the glory. God will not give His glory unto another, beloved. He will not share it. Look at Isaiah 42:8. It's proclaimed there too. Speaking about graven images. Oh, God will not share His glory with anyone. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name. That's Jehovah, the self-existent one. I am the Lord, that is my name. In my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Oh. And then we're told in the New Testament, in Colossians 1:17-18, we're told this. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. All the glory. And He won't share it with no one else. This is why we always say, we seek to give God all the glory, and all the honor, and all the praise. Because He is worthy, and He alone is worthy. No one else is worthy of praise. No one else. And God's people say amen, because it's true. It's true. Oh my. God gives temporal blessings to His children, doesn't He? He gives us temporal blessings. He gives us wisdom and riches and honor. And He'll give us spiritual blessings. He does that. But we always give Him the glory for that. We always turn the praise around to the giver. To the giver. He gives His children grace and faith. His love is bestowed upon us. And one day He'll take us to heaven. We'll give Him all the glory. We'll give Him all the glory while we're here on earth. And let me tell you, there's not one saint, not one blood-bought saint in heaven which doesn't give Him all the glory. It all goes to Him. He gets all the praise. He gets all the glory. He gets all the honor. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. He'll never share His essential glory or His intrinsic glory, but He does bestow gifts upon His people. And as I said, in return, we glorify Him. We glorify Him. God will do much for His people. But His essential glory, He will not part with. He will not part with. The last, second point, and the last point is this: the glory which is ascribed to Him and due Him from us. We are to give God all the glory. And this is the second of the twofold glory of God. He is worthy of all our praise. He's worthy of it. He's worthy. He alone is worthy of all our praise and all the honor we give Him. He alone is worthy to be glorified by us because He is the God of all glory. He is the God of all glory. And the believer in Christ wants and desires to give it to Him. Now think of that. We didn't before we were saved. Oh, what a change the Holy Spirit wrought in us. What a change. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. 1 Chronicles 16:29. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. But unto Thy name give glory. Why? For Thy mercy's sake. Oh, turn there if you would. Psalm 115, verse 1. Look at this marvelous verse. We've got to close here. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. Psalm 115, verse 1. But unto Thy name give glory, for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Oh, what mercy. What mercy He showed us at Calvary's cross. What mercy God showed us at Calvary's cross. The truth, the one who is the truth incarnate, was sacrificed for our sins. My goodness. Not unto us. Not unto us, O Lord. But unto Thy name give glory. You're bought with a price, beloved. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He's the one who had mercy upon us. And how do we glorify God? How do we lift up His name? Turn, if you would, one more scripture. Philippians 1:20, and we're close here. Philippians 1:20. How do we glorify God? How do we lift up His name? How do we honor Him in this world? How do we magnify Him in this world to others? Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul here proclaims, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Give God all the glory. Give Him all the glory in all the things you do. Give Him all the praise. Give him the praise for the mercy which He showed you. Give Him all the glory for the mercy which he shed upon you abundantly. And every day, every day He sheds His mercy on you. His mercies are new every morning. New every morning. Oh, beloved, what a great God and King. May we give Him all the glory and honor and praise. Oh, Lord Jesus, we come before You. We're so thankful for Your goodness and mercy every single day to us. May we glorify You today. May You be lifted up high and mighty in the preaching of Your Word. And may our hearts and our minds be drawn to Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.